Yes, bills. Okay. Good morning, everyone. This is March 12th. And we are starting our lesson, and our lesson is going to be on the revelation given in April 2020. And we are going to go through the verses and each one take a verse individually. And instead of reading it, we will just give our thoughts individually of what that verse means to us. So we've learned a lot through everything that we've done. We feel the strength of the revelation, and we know it's time to begin to do more of what the Lord has called us to do. So I do believe that each paragraph has a message for us. We're just going to explore what we see individually into each one of them. And so we're going to start the first verse there. And when I was reading through this, I really, the part about having your eyes closed and your ears are deaf, and that we have spiritual arrogance, this kind of said to me that that's what we've done in the last few years, because we haven't moved forward. I think what we have done is tried to learn more, read more, and ask the Lord for a continued education of us through faith and our response to what he has asked us. So their ears are deaf and their eyes are closed. I think many, many people are still there, and they're not willing to take that next step. So that's what I feel about verse one.
I'm trying to figure out in verse one where it says, which message my people did not receive when this record was revealed. Who's my people in that verse?
I think it's us.
I think it also might be the people of the restoration. You know, all the churches of the restoration, I think, is what, in my opinion, but I don't know. I know, okay. Bill had a comment too.
I was going to ask if I could do verse two.
Yes.
Did Russell get his question answered, my people?
I think so.
Okay, I've got my autistic son here, so you may hear some noise. But when I studied this, this is one of the verses that stood out the most to me, where it says that regarding the prophecies, my people despise the word of God the Father with regard to the prophecies that would have served as a sign for when these things began to occur among them. So for me, it's very important to be able to look ahead. And so I did look it up in the Book of Mormon, and if I could just read, I think it's 2 Nephi 25. But behold, I proceed with mine own prophecy according to my own plainness, in which I know that no man can err. Nevertheless, in the days that the prophecies of Isaiah shall be fulfilled, men shall know of a surety at that time when they shall come to pass. Wherefore, they are of worth unto the children of men, and he that supposeth they are not, unto them will I speak particularly, and confine my words unto mine own people, for I know that they shall be of great worth unto them in the last days, for in that day shall they understand them, wherefore for their good have I written them. And so I think these records, and then we recently studied from the sealed book the prophecy of Isaiah, these things are coming forward, and I agree with Gene, we need to pay attention to what's being said there and what it means to us, and be ready to take action.
Okay. Yeah, ready to take action. I think we're there. I think we definitely are at the point where action is starting to be needed.
Hey, Sister Jeannie.
Other thoughts? Yes. Oh, hi, Tyler.
Hello. Sorry I'm late. Well, in Isaiah 28 and 29, one of the preconditions for the marvelous work is the, I guess you could say, the sad condition of the Lord's people. And this, what's written here and what's written in the prophets, is so typical of us as a people. What's also typical is that we don't recognize it, but it's one of the most wonderful things, or one of the things that has become to me the most wonderful, is the fact that as I look back and how my heart has changed, this I heard about the second invitation and have taken on the attitude to learn rather than to think that me or my group or my tradition is correct and everyone else needs to come to it. And it's helped me realize how much I do need to learn. But I think it is a general condition of the Lord's people, is we have this attitude, or somehow through time we've developed this attitude that prevents us from learning, that prevents us from receiving from the Lord. And he's trying to help us. And so in Isaiah 29, that blindness is a theme, and throughout other chapters, how the Lord eventually heals his people and takes away their blindness through the words that he's bringing forth, the Book of Mormon, and now the little bit more that we've received at this time. So to me, it's a joy, it's a delight, but I also look back and I see where I was and where a lot of my peers still are. And what the Lord describes here, that we actually missed what he did for us as a people in general. But that, but that's not the end of the story. It's just the beginning of where we're at right now. But it is, I didn't see it until recently, how common a theme it is in the scriptures of our lack of understanding, and how the Lord needs to work and needs to act independently of us to bring us back from darkness to light.
Thank you, Tyler. Thank you for joining us also. Yes, your words ring true. We have been taught, and each of us are progressing at a different way and a different time frame. And that makes it hard to get everybody on the same page. But faith is something that we need to also be building. And so that's very true, Tyler. Lisa, can you do three? And Lisa, if there is somebody out there that wants, like Bill wanted, a particular verse, go ahead and just say that. So
yeah, sure. Three's nice and long.
Yeah, you lot in that one.
But also, I thought this was interesting in the little preface that John Pratt gave, Grandpa Pratt gave, at the very end. He said, "The part being published today reads what we have." So that means that there's more to this revelation that has not been published yet, and I'm wondering if we will get that in our next conference. I wonder if it will be published or not. I'm just curious, but still, even what we have is amazing. Let's see, what stood out to me in this one? It's a doozy. Let's see. So that you may drive away darkness among you, and so that this record which now reaches you, together with those whom these commandments were given, may have the power to bring my church out of obscurity and darkness. So I think his church, or all of his churches, were in obscurity and darkness. All the restoration churches, we're all under condemnation of this obscurity and darkness. And so the Lord has given us the sealed Book of Mormon to help bring us out of that obscurity and darkness. So that's one thing that is pretty cool. So, and it says, so that my name shall not be profaned among you, and so that the blood of mine anointed ones, which was shed in the Carthage jail, all of those, if we're not taking this seriously, the blood of Joseph Smith will be upon our hands and Hiram, it sounds like. And I know that I've taken this into my heart, but I have not been a diligent missionary. And so this is calling me to repentance, to be more open so that I don't have the blood of Joseph Smith and Hiram and the early saints on my hands. So I think that's what I get out of verse 3. Anyone else?
I think it's interesting that not only those shed the blood in Carthage, but also all the pioneers that died in the early days of the restoration also be required at our hands.
Yeah. It's pretty severe.
Yeah. Very good. Thank you, Lisa.
Can I comment? This is Bob. It's interesting, the part about the darkness. It's, let's see if I can find it. It says, take my church out of obscurity and darkness. In March of that same year, 2020, there was a revelation that contained a parable, the parable of the traveler, if you remember that.
That's in this one.
That's yes. In the same revelation?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Well, that's verse 10. All right. Well, I'll hold my comments.
Okay.
I was doing it. So this, what I have down, this was given in March. I thought, is that the date you gave for this one? It must have been. Okay.
I think it was given in March, but published in April.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Yeah, I think Brother Mauricio got it in March and he prepared it to discuss it at the conference in April. And at the same time, that was when Brother John had translated it into English and he published it on his page in April at the same time.
Okay, very good.
Okay. All right. Verse 4. Tyler, you're next on my list of looking at people on my screen. Would you mind doing 4?
Okay. However, those who truly believe in this sealed record will not be confounded and will know that God is in their midst because he will deliver them from the sudden plague that sweeps the earth. And this too, in the last days, because it shall remain on the earth, as it will be the beginning of pain that comes to you as a desolating disease. And the groans of the parents will fill the earth because of the hunger that shall befall your little ones through the calamity that comes to you like a plague of locusts, which will consume the resources of the nations. And behold, in the course of those days, a strong wind of animosity between your national leaders will sweep the four corners of the earth, making them stand out. A man sitting on the back of a red horse will have power and authority to take peace from the children of men as an alliance between two kings, will overflow the borders of the nations and go on to the ends of the earth.
So what strikes us about this paragraph?
I think this is very interesting to come in 2020, just before there was a pandemic, or just the beginnings of a pandemic. Yet this is not the pandemic. That one is not the one it's talking about in this verse. There's one yet to come, and it's going to be much worse, as what I read out of this.
Right.
I remember asking Grandpa Pratt, you know, what does this mean? The man sitting on the back of a red horse. And And Grandpa Pratt told me this is the alliance between China and Russia, the evil powers between China and Russia that they're going to join and perhaps start the war. And we've kind of seen a little bit of that.
Yeah, we keep getting closer and closer to that very thing.
Yeah.
But back then, that wasn't, I mean, the Ukraine war hadn't begun. So, I mean, this is prophecy. This is pretty cool. Yeah.
What is that saying about hindsight?
2020.
Yeah. It seems to make a whole lot more sense to us now. And that very first part where it says, those who believe in the sealed record will not be confounded and will know that God is in their midst. That's their faith, and that's what we need to be moving forward with to prepare.
And so I don't know what the plague of locusts is, but it seems like the powers that be want our food destroyed, and so a lot of destruction is happening to our resources, our food resources, specifically in the United States and other countries.
And I don't think it's an actual locust. I think it's just like a plague of locusts, and it just sweeps through like locusts do.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. If you were watching world events unfold, although they don't get center stage very much, they were experiencing, was it last year, the year before, in Africa and all those places, the worst locust they'd ever seen. And they showed videos of it coming out of BBC, I think, and some of the places in the Middle East. And it was just stripping everything. And the people were had no crops at all. But there was actually locusts, and it was the worst it had been in hundreds of years, is what they were saying.
Oh, wow.
Good point.
All right, let's move on to number 5. Russell, you want to do number 5?
Sure. Number 5 is one I haven't made any notes on.
Oh, okay. Well,
but that's fine. It talks about obstinate children, and that, you know, we just can't seem to learn and listen to what we've been told. You know, again, we were reminded to hearken and give ear to the him who laid the foundation of the earth. And hearken unto my voice, lest death shall overtake you in an hour when you least expect, at the end of the harvest, when my work shall be finished. And I think it's interesting how we're now bringing in DNC 45, and we're getting a new understanding of DNC 45 in the next several verses.
Okay. Yeah. Obstinate children. I feel I'm one of those. Okay. Number 6. Who have we heard from everyone so far? I can't see everybody on the screen.
I'll share. Okay. Listen, therefore, to him who is your advocate with the Father, who is pleading your cause before him. Hear my voice while it is called today, and harden not your hearts. For verily I say unto you that I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the light and the life of the world, the light that shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended not. Because I came into mine own, and mine own received me not. But unto as many as received me gave I power to do many miracles and to become the sons of God. And even to them that believed on my name gave I power to obtain eternal life. It seems like over the last 2 or 3 days, I've been getting the same thing from different sources. We're talking about people who can't see. And I remember, and I'm sure you all would know more than I about scriptural references, but I think it was in 1 Thessalonians, was it Paul that was teaching about those who were asleep and at night they were drunk, if I'm not mistaken, somewhere in there. And he was talking about those who were consumed with their safety and security, that they wouldn't listen and they couldn't hear and they were blind, and they made a reference about being drunk, and at night they were drunk. But it just keeps coming from every direction here the last two or three days about these signs of our times. People don't want to hear it, some of them. They don't want to look. They're consumed with peace and safety and security. And it's playing out just exactly the way he says in the scriptures it was going to play out. And that, as sad as it is, I want everybody to know. You know, I want everybody. But it's not meant to be that way. And it's sad.
Well, it sort of is the lack of faith that people have. The only understanding is that they hang on to their traditions that they've been taught. And this says, a light that shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Well, that's the light of Christ. And if people aren't willing to understand what Christ is talking to them about, then the darkness will not understand it and they'll be lost. So, yes.
I think one other thing I might mention that I noticed in that song, the Battle Hymn of the Republic, that I don't think I ever heard before, was he said, with a glory in his bosom, it transforms you and me. And I think there's a lot about that, receiving the light that kind of connects to the God spark in us. And if we're in the right place to be activated, we are.
Right. Right.
Hello, can I make a comment?
Yes.
I've often wondered what it was like for the people who lived in Noah's day and why there are only 8 souls who were saved, and or even more recently, what it was like in the days of Joseph Smith. And we really haven't had the opportunity to experience that until recently, a similar situation where the Lord is speaking in, to us today. And I understand a little better now because of what we're experiencing today with the Lord's people, and because of how at least those that I've come across for the most part have decided to ignore this call from the Lord and go on with life as if it never happened. And when Jesus says, until the day that the door was closed on the ark, they continued. A lot of the scriptures really come to life more, and I'm able to understand them because of what we're experiencing today and what we see happening among the Lord's people, and why all those people in ancient times when the Lord was speaking rejected that message that he had. So I think we're very privileged to be in the situation we are, and very responsible for being the light, for living the things that we've come to believe, and so that others can maybe see a difference and see a reason to believe. But there's not been a test of faith like there was in 1830 when the Book of Mormon was published, for people of Christianity who believe, and for the people of the covenant in the Lord's church, as there is today with him bringing the sealed book to us. So it's enlightening, but then it brings to us the challenge of how can we be the light on the hill that will help other people to see what it is that the Lord desires from his people.
Thank you, Tyler. I think it's interesting that this one part where it says, unto many as received me, I gave power to do many miracles and become the sons of God. And even unto me, I who believed on my name, I gave power to obtain eternal life. That's, to me, that's our future. And that this is the part of the faith that we're building. And maybe people aren't going to recognize any of this, like Tyler said, until we get to the point where our faith and our understanding of our spiritual growth and moving from or into a fifth dimension and learning about the light that is within us that connects us with God. I mean, God lives with us. We just have to be more attuned to that. And we're moving more towards that. And that's why I think our eyes and ears are becoming more open and people are growing. And now we can do some of this hindsight and learn more. And I've thought a lot about those who were with us in the beginning of when John started the Utah group and everything, and we don't hear from them. And is it that they just missed the message and they're not growing like we are spiritually? It's just a thought in my mind. I think verse 7, who could do verse 7? I think it is a wonderful verse. Bill, are you still with us?
Yes.
Okay, could you do 7?
Yes. That's a short one there. So, and yes. So I also have sent my everlasting covenant into the world, which is the sealed book of the records of Mormon, to be a light to the world, to be a model for my people and for the Gentiles to seek, and to be a messenger before my face to prepare the way before me. So when I first was introduced to the sealed book, that this book and these revelations would serve as a model and prepare a preparation for the way. And so I've shared with this group before how profoundly I was influenced with some of the early discussions, especially around the ideas of preparing ourselves temporally, so that we did have these places of refuge and support. So this is my comment here, is that it is pointing the direction in a direction towards action that we can take in the temporal physical world.
Mm-hmm. Yes. All right. Let's move on to 8. Who has?
Maybe it's Michael's turn if he wants to take a turn.
Oh, yeah. We have Michael. Good. Thank you, Michael.
Yeah, I'll read. And behold, I will reason with him that cometh to know the words of this book, as I did with men in days of old. And I will show unto you my strong reasoning, and I will show it plainly, as I showed it unto my disciples, as I stood before them in the flesh, and spake unto them, saying that desolation would come upon them, and this I have told you concerning Jerusalem. And when that day shall come, shall a remnant be scattered among all nations, but they shall be gathered again, but they shall remain until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And in that day the whole earth shall be in commotion, and men's hearts shall fail them, and iniquity shall abound among them in this generation, and the times of the Gentiles shall be fulfilled in these days, inasmuch as there shall be men in this generation who shall not pass until they see this terrible plague, which will be like locusts consuming their crops. For a desolating sickness shall cover the land, and the consequence will be a calamity for those who do not hear my voice. I think the biggest question for me in that verse is, Has the times of the Gentiles been fulfilled with the coming forth of this record and other records? Is that kind of a sign to us that the days of the Gentiles are over and now it's being taken back and given to the seed of Lehi? I don't know.
I find it interesting that Queen Elizabeth passed away earlier this year, I'm losing track of my dates, but recently, of course, she reigned for longest reigning monarch. And we know the significance of the role that the United Kingdom has played in the 10 tribes of Israel. And I'm just wondering if there's a connection between the end of the time of the Gentiles and that event. And then also, for the first time, a non-Christian has become the prime minister of England. So I just a couple of historical events that might give some, I don't know, some markers perhaps into the end of the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Although there's other opinions out there. Some say it's when Israel was formed as a nation. Different thoughts on that, but I just find it very profound in a way that those two events I described happened. Thank you.
I think also the reference to the men's heart shall fail them, you know, I think that's in Revelation too, but I guess it's in DNC and it's in here. Mm-hmm. Been seeing lots of hearts failing lately, unfortunately. A lot of people passing on.
I think sometimes when we're studying something and trying to learn something, we get hung up on the verbiage and you know, is the time for the Gentiles done? Are we going back to the to Jerusalem? Sometimes that's not what we need to be looking at. So what struck me in this one was that yes, men's hearts will fail. And I hadn't thought about death, but I had thought about their losing their faith and Satan is offering more to them than what they feel God can give them. And the consequence, that very last sentence, the consequence will be calamity for those who don't hear my voice. So the question is, what is being said to us? And are we listening? And are we moving forward? That's what I got out of this.
I want to just comment on the, you know, it talks about until the times the Gentile shall be fulfilled, and in that day, the whole earth shall be in commotion. And I think we are getting in that state where we're so much, mm-hmm. and we're redefining language. I mean, male and female doesn't mean anything anymore. And there are people getting all upset about how you define terms. And really, it's coming to blows. And there is major commotion right now, and it's getting worse. This nation, I don't expect to last for two more years. It's all the things that are tearing it down. So we're at the end of that times of the Gentiles.
I would add to that in reading and studying some of the things, particularly with the keys of Enoch, it talks about the light, the electromagnetic vibration energy that comes on this planet and the polar shift and the things that are prophesied for that and how it would make some people mean and angry and some be drawn to Christ. And it had an interesting fit in understanding this commotion that, you know, we're watching pole shifts wobbling all over the place. We're seeing these things with these people doing truly never seen before behaviors, grown men acting some the way they do in politics or just on the street. I made a remark the other day that it took me a couple of years to figure out what it was about going to Brazil versus coming back to Miami and being able to describe that accurately, you know, because they seem to be more isolated from things, but they're happy. You come to Miami and it seems like people are either angry or looking for a reason to be angry. And it's something that seems to have evolved over these last 6 or 8 years to me. And But I see this commotion on the earth, and it's talking about all the things they've done, trying to take care of greenhouse emissions and blaming that as the sole purpose for the global warming, when nobody wants to talk about some of this electromagnetic change that has happened on the earth and what's doing to the atmosphere. So yes, commotion all over. And the prophecies of what'll come from that are pretty profound. That's all I've got. Just thought I'd add my two cents for it.
Thank you. I think verse 9 is like a hopeful verse. Could someone take verse 9?
But if my disciples shall stand in holy places, they shall not be moved by their faith. But among the wicked, men shall lift up their voices and curse the work of God and die. There shall still be earthquakes in diverse places and many desolations that will come after these first things happen. And yet men will harden their hearts against my work and raise accusations against mine anointed ones. The thing that stands out for me that's so wonderful is in the midst of these thick clouds of darkness, there's a beam of light. There's a specific salvation that the Lord has set forth. And one of the revelations of the Doctrine and Covenants that is mentioned that I had always interpreted as being in the past and speaking of history, but yet have learned recently it speaks of the future, also a prophecy of what's to come. And that is that last line from the previous verse, that those who are willing to listen to the voice of the Lord, that he will provide a way of salvation, and which he always does for his people or for those who will listen to his voice. So there's hope in the midst of these tribulations. And one other scripture says the saints will hardly escape. So it's not going to be easy, but they will escape if they're willing to listen to what the Lord has. And that, to me, is the bright spot in all this, that the wickedness of the world brings about these sad conditions. But through this, God has taken it all into account in his plan, and he's still provided a way of deliverance. Those who are willing to take those steps and walk in the way he's asked and the way he requires.
Very much so, yes. It doesn't say that we who are his disciples will be able to stop all of these earthquakes and all of the desolations. That's still going to be there. It's our choice. Are we going to stay in the place we've been told that the desolation will be terrible and harder to get through? Or are we going to go to where the Lord has instructed us to be and build the united order? I think it's going to come very quickly down to choices that we make. And the Lord has given us information as to where safety is going to be.
Yes, exactly. That's what I'm wondering. Yeah. Hello, everybody. I was wondering if the holy places are the same as the safe places that was talked about in another revelation, if I remember correctly.
Good question. Anybody?
Great comment, Doctor. Where are these holy places?
Yes. Because, since I've been to Brazil, of course, I'm thinking about Brazil. And, one of the first things that Mauricio asked was, what would it take to live here, you know? And so that goes on in your mind. Yeah. And well, we need some things, but I also yeah, you need people, you know. So yeah, it would be nice to be together with people that that you know, and even from a screen. So yes, not sure what I wanted to say, but yeah, the holy places and the safe places. Because I think everybody can relate that you really like it where you are, where you live at the moment. It's comfortable for most of the people, I think, that I know. And yeah, and are you willing to give it up, you know, just to maybe to move? Or is it, are there some safe places around the world where people can gather that feel united enough to withstand the storms that are coming? So yeah, just some thoughts to share.
Yes, I'd like to comment if I could.
Yes.
To continue with that, we're all familiar with how the concept of kingdoms in the scriptures, where there's a king and a kingdom. And Revelation says that in the end times, that the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our God and his Christ. Paired with section 45 of the Doctrine and Covenants, was talking about the everlasting covenant coming into the world. Section 65 has a verse at the very end that says, "Wherefore may the kingdom of God go forth, that the kingdom of heaven may come," which is a reminder or a statement that of what the work of the restoration is all about, is that the kingdom of God going forth is the church that has been taken out of obscurity and darkness. And for what reason? To prepare a place that the kingdom of heaven may come, meaning that God himself, Christ, can come to earth and take up residence. And what men are and women are called to do is to align themselves with this kingdom of God. And that's the ministry of the church and the priesthood, to call people to repentance. So we tend to look at the kingdoms as something that we can visualize, like materialize around us. You know, we think of walls and the scriptures talk about boundaries and things like that. But having said that, the statement that Christ made himself is very important, where he says the kingdom is not cannot be had by, cannot be seen by observation, that it's within you. And so that ties right in with the sealed book and the purpose of the feelings and the holy place. The only holy places on earth are not physical places. They're in the hearts of the people. And that will make the places to be able to be sanctified and become holy. But first it has to be this, what, you know, the lessons in the sealed book, to become a holy people with these feelings in our hearts, to guard our hearts, that we don't give the adversary place or license to take over our thoughts. One of the things that the scripture says is that God hates a lie, you know, if we tell a lie, that gives license to Satan to set up shop in your heart. And it's simple, you know, we've got to realize that the kingdom we're trying to build starts in our heart, and we have to guard our heart from the adverse feelings. And so, you know, we just go back to the message of the sealed book that we've been studying, that this kingdom, the kingdom to go forth on the earth, it has to be built on these principles that God's giving us. And I guess that's my comment. Thank you.
I'd like for the holy place to be right here where I live, and for the saints to gather here. But I look at the history of the Lord's people, and oft times when the Lord is moving, the people of the Lord are on the move. And whether it's Lehi who had to leave Jerusalem, Abraham who had to leave his native city, early saints who were led from New York and Ohio and Missouri and Illinois, or even the Nephites, who in order to be preserved in their history had to discern the danger, and the Lord promised to preserve them, and their faith was that he would preserve them if they were righteous, if they kept his commandments. But according to the danger, sometimes they just had to fortify themselves and stay put and dig in. Sometimes they had to flee if it was a different kind of danger. So we all are comfortable in where we're at because we've kind of gotten settled, both physically and spiritually. But when the Lord, I guess I would say when the chief of the army of the Lord gives that call, and we have to stand and be ready to move, and both spiritually and temporally. And so that's maybe upsetting, as it was for, we know some of Lehi's family dealt with that better than others. But it's a reality that we need to, because we see those clouds forming and we see the conditions around us. And so we should at least be aware that there has to be changes coming for us, both spiritually and temporally, that we'll need to adjust to. And it will be outside the comfort of what we would like to occur, but there will be a greater reward with it, because it'll be both our preservation and also the gathering of all of us who are scattered will bring a great strength, and we'll be able to do things together that we haven't been able to do in a scattered condition. So this, I see, is a good thing. And the Lord will direct. I think that was even something that was mentioned in the study last night that Joseph Smith talked about, that, right, and it was in regard to the common stock, things they were doing even that were happening in Kirtland before the restoration came there, that the Lord would give specific direction, and he would tell us what needed to be done and how. And so when that time comes that the Lord gives direction, then we need to be ready to move and to act, and that will assure our preservation.
And many of those things are coming forth now that in the revelations.
Thank you, everyone. We're coming to verse 10. And 10 is Bob, where the parable of the traveler is. I just want to briefly say that to me, the parable of the traveler, if we take it and think of teachings that we have learned over the last 3 years, and that the sun is rising on the horizon, and the shadows are being eliminated from our hearts, and I think we're all beginning to understand what is going to be coming and where we need to be. I want to just jump quickly over to verse 30 and wrap it up we're not going to be able to finish this. But in verse 30, it talks about, wait for Russell to get there. And we need to remember, I think this is what verse 30 says to me. It's a remembrance of what the goal is. What are we striving to do that the Lord's asked us to do? And the first and foremost thing is down there towards the end in D&C 1067. For those who repent and come to me, Jesus Christ, are my church, formed not by brick and mortar walls, plastered by human hands and personal precepts, but by living stones carved by my revealed word, just as the mason does with rough stones extracted from the quarry, which after being cut and polished are fitted together with perfect symmetry and unity in order to erect a living church that will answer the call of the second invitation in the land that I have assigned to you. And I truly feel that that is saying to us that the living church that we are going to put together is going to be in Brazil. And many may have different thoughts on this, but I really believe that the journey, the movement that Brother Tyler was talking about, that we all have alluded to, being safe where in our own little world, but we're being asked to do something different. We're being asked to go and build this living church. And that for me is where I think we need to be thinking about. It's time to be putting our thoughts in order. How are we going to do that? And that I think is what we should be taking from this revelation and going forward with it. Any other quick thoughts before we stop the recording?
Sister Jeannie, there's other revelations that are in that book that Brother Samuel held up last night that definitely confirm that God has chosen Brazil as the place for his people to build the spiritual temple. And so, yes, you're absolutely right.
Right. And that's not to say that other people aren't going to be led to establish something in the United States for the people who don't get the message. Like what Brother Bill is doing, those are a wonderful thing because people will need those things, but we're being asked to do something specific, and that's my thoughts on it. Anything else?
Just wanted to share a scripture also about the spiritual temple, and it's Seal Book of Moses 4, verse 66. So it's I can read it, but you can also look it up if you wanted to end.
Read it for us, Alkia. That's fine.
Okay.
What page? Oh, the pages.
76 from the.
Okay.
From the, I don't know what. Which book are you having? Oh, the yellow. I have the white one now. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if it's the same page, but all the days of Zion in the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch and all his people walked with God, and he dwelt in the midst of Zion, as he also promised to dwell among his people in the fullness of times for 1,000 years. But behold, in the last days, as in the days of Enoch, that the building of a spiritual temple should take place before the physical temple is erected among the people of Zion, in which the words of this book will help the people to carve their hearts hardened by the traditions and precepts of men, to polish their holiness and to mold them to the true knowledge of my gospel, in order to fit like a living stone in the spiritual structure of the temple of God. And after having passed on one generation after another generation, there being no more poor people among them and being one of heart, then there is to be erected a physical temple where I, the Lord, will descend among my people in the last days, just as it was in the days of Enoch. So. Yeah.
Thank you, Balkia.
I want to make one comment.
Before. And that was for what?
For Seal Book of Moses 4, verse 66.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, I want to make another a comment before we end this recording. You know, we talk about gathering to Brazil as the earth goes through turmoil. Getting to Brazil may not be an option in the future. I think there will be a secondary gathering place because I just finished reading a book, very interesting, about a few people. They'd been missionaries in Brazil. They went down there and they were having trouble getting around, so they bought some dirt bikes. They ended up driving all the way from Brazil all the way back to Fillmore, Utah. there, you actually can't do that. You get to the Panama Canal area, you have to get a boat to go around that area and so forth. And but it was an interesting story. You know, we can't all, if transportation breaks down, we can't even get to Brazil. So I think there may be other some other options as well at that time that where things will gather.
I'm sure, Russell, I'm sure you're right, but some of us need to not, I mean, we can't just wait for that to happen. We need to be thinking about what we can do in Brazil to help move forward with building the spiritual church.
Of course.
So Russell, it might be worth mentioning. I'm okay if you stop the...
Okay.